Hello and welcome to the Perfect Formula, brought to you by V2 Sport Network. Caught up after the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. We're now catching up after the Spanish Grand Prix. There was a lot of discussion before the Spanish Grand Prix as to whether there would be rain and whether that would change the results. Sadly, no rain, but we did see some exciting events. The first one being the Grosjean crash. What do you think on that?
Yeah, just to go back to your first point, yeah, it's a bit of a shame we didn't get any rain. I didn't think it was as exciting as previous races. It was still an okay race, but by this season, I think this season's very exciting. By this season's standards, perhaps not as exciting as the other races. But yeah, the Grosjean crash, you've got to say it's another driver error, and Grosjean's not having a good season. I think it's been well documented that he put the throttle down, which caused all that smoke and made the what was, you know, a relatively minor incident, racing incident, into a huge incident. And
yeah, he has had a few stupid mistakes. I'd say this is probably the most stupid one he's made, actually. It was, by all accounts, irresponsible and not what you'd expect from an experienced driver like himself. He could have caused a lot of harm. If a driver had barreled into him fully on sideways, there could have been serious injuries involved.
Well, it was terrifying. You saw all the cameras of the, the drivers following Grosjean, and various drivers couldn't see a thing. And the fact that it wasn't, Gasly in particular, I think he crashed and was out of the race, but
completely blinded.
Yeah, well, several drivers were completely blinded, and we could have quite easily seen something far worse than it was. In the end, only three drivers were taken out by it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that probably the car that was in the most danger there was Gasly. He did very good too. Whilst he got hit by the car, he realised perhaps where Grosjean's car was travelling to and moved himself deliberately off the track onto the grass in the hopes that Grosjean's car wouldn't reach that far. As such, he only got caught by the front tyre. However, if he'd been caught head on with that sort of thing, I mean, I know there's a lot of protection in place for those drivers, but you could be looking at a fatal incident with those speeds. So I think it was incredibly irresponsible of Grosjean.
Yeah, but I think the thing that's important to say, though, and is, I suppose, in his defence, is the initial incident isn't that bad. It's sort of a racing incident behind his teammate. He's a bit unlucky to go wide. It's the problem is what happens after, and he hits the throttle whilst spinning and causing all the smoke, which is the problem, not the initial incident, which is probably a racing incident, nothing too significant.
It's his response that is irresponsible.
Precisely.
His response is that of a driver that is not experienced, which is surprising. He's got several years under his belt. He should know that, you know, if you're spinning around in a circle and you put the throttle on, you're going to burn out the tyres and you're going to cause a lot of smoke. It's not that hard to understand. I mean, if you watch anyone doing donuts, there's a lot of smoke. He was essentially doing a large one across the track. So it's very disappointing, to be perfectly honest. I'm sure he sees it as disappointing as well. He's certainly being overshadowed by a less experienced driver at the moment.
Well, I think he needs to have a long, hard look in the mirror. The thing is in the past he has shown glimpses of talent, and he's had a few podiums at Lotus. You think back to what he did before, and he has had his moments. And I think this season, with the Haas being a competitive car, if he does well, if he can get, consistent points finishes, I mean, we were talking about him potentially going to Ferrari, and, there's no chance he's going to Ferrari on current form. And I think he's blown a huge opportunity this season. I think this season was absolutely crucial for him to get, consistent points scoring finishes. And, we're five races in, and that Haas car is points worthy in virtually every race, and he's got nothing. He's got nothing to show for it.
I mean, if you're talking about opportunities to move to Ferrari, this year is a good year to try and prove your worth. I mean, Raikkonen's contract's going to be coming to an end. He's older. He's probably a bit annoyed at the fact that he's not allowed to race really this year at all, and he's had quite a few unfortunate incidents, all of which are probably going to lead up to, well, most likely going to lead up to him deciding, you know, whether to not continue. And I don't think Ferrari will probably renew the contract. He's not getting enough points for it to be worthwhile. Yes, he's defending Vettel, but they still want the points in there. And that's just not happening. In terms of NASCAR, it is very good. In terms of all of the lower teams, it is doing the best out of all of them, speed-wise. And Magnussen has proven this. Mm. Magnussen, even though he has a few incidents, he's not perfect. We're not saying he's perfect. He has driven well this season, and he has less experience. He's younger, but he has got 19 points to his name, whereas Grosjean has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Which says a lot, especially for if Ferrari's trying to look at the Haas team for the next driver. Magnussen would be a good choice at this moment compared to Grosjean.
Yeah, yeah, I think the thing for Haas is they're obviously not going to compete with the Red Bulls and the Ferraris and the Mercedes, but they have to, as I said before, they have to be getting consistent point scoring finishes, and Magnussen finishing in sixth place, wasn't it? We're behind the the Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes top five. That's the best he can achieve.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's still a relatively young driver. He's sort of been around the block a bit. He was at McLaren before, wasn't he, for a season?
He joined young, though. That's worthwhile mentioning. He did join Formula One young. And as such, even though he's got a few years under his belt, he is still a young driver, and he's still inexperienced to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah, he's only 25. He's got plenty of time to, move on and,
develop.
Exactly. I at the moment, Magnussen has driven well, and potentially could see him at Ferrari at the end of the season.
He is showing maturity, which is surprising. Previously, I always thought he was a bit of a kid on the block, but he's showing himself to be a bit more mature now, and that's good for him. Not quite so good for Grosjean.
Mm.
Grosjean is showing himself to be acting well. Like the kid on the block.
I think Grosjean's aspiring to be the next Maldonado, not the next Ferrari driver.
He has made a few stupid mistakes. I mean, crashing his car in the safety car, bit of an odd one. And this incident itself showed a lack of experience, really. He should have kept his foot off the throttle. He should have just taken it off and let it roll to a stop. He could have possibly restarted afterwards. If not, he wouldn't have caused a serious racing incident, and he wouldn't have three-place grid penalty on his next race, which is going to damage his chances then.
Well, you think as well, the next race is Monaco, and if you could choose any race not to have a grid penalty, it would be there, because overtaking is impossible, and your grid position is absolutely crucial. So, he's going to have to qualify very strongly, or he's got no chance of getting points. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. So not a good season so far for Grosjean.
Nope. Maldonado Mark II.
Not a brilliant race for Vettel, to be perfectly honest. He didn't have a brilliant start. However, there did seem to be some team manoeuvring going in place once it did start. Raikkonen seemed to drop back to let Vettel in front of him to get behind Bottas and get the slipstream, which then meant he was able to pass Bottas and get behind Hamilton, get his slipstream. And after the first corner, he was second place.
You're correct, I think. It wasn't a good initial getaway, but it was some good racing to get in front, and obviously he was helped a bit by his teammate, who was very compliant, but you sort of expect that from Raikkonen. But, it was a decent overtake on Bottas to get that second place, and, that would have going, before the race on the grid, that would have been his target, get in front of one of the Mercedes. That was critical to his race, to have any chance of preventing, the Mercedes running away with an easy 1-2.
I think that was a good show of effective team planning. They planned that ahead. Raikkonen played his part, Vettel played his part, and it worked smoothly. However, for the rest of the race, the team planning seemed to fall short. What's your opinion on that?
Are we talking in terms of strategy, or
it's strategy mostly, yeah.
So the first pit stop, they were sort of forced into pitting by Mercedes. I thought Mercedes did a very good job of that.
I'd almost say tricked. to be honest. It seemed like Mercedes was always leading the conversations about this race with the idea of a two-stop race, and I think it was very ingrained in everyone's thoughts. Mercedes were planning for a two-stop race, and Ferrari decided to try and do the one-up on them again, which is, oh, can we do a one-stop race and extend it longer, like they'd done previously? I don't think that worked.
No, obviously their strategy didn't work, but I think Ferrari were struggling because they had the weaker car on the day, and I think they just had to make the best opportunity of it. I think you know, the first pit stop, yes, perhaps it was too early. It was too early, not perhaps, that's irrelevant. It was definitely too early. The second pit stop was slow, which ended up with them behind Verstappen, but given the scenario, I think it was probably the right thing to do. Vettel said he had no choice, but I think he was covering them up, to be honest. I think he was trying to be more, you know, he's not going to criticise his own team. He's not going to do that.
The problem there was that they didn't have a second driver to back it up to. Raikkonen was out by this point. Obviously, Raikkonen had an engine failure. He lost power and ended up limping his way back to the pit lane, actually. Surprising he managed to get all the way around the track, really, because he started experiencing problems just after he went past the pit lane entry, if not just before, where he seemed to be told not to go into the pit lane. Obviously, they usually use Raikkonen to test tyre wear. They didn't have that option in this case. But I do think the second pit stop was a mistake. Bottas coped well. I think he stopped 4 laps after Vettel did, in terms of getting those medium compound tyres on. And Vettel did lose a podium space. Yes, it would have been third, but he lost a podium space and he went down to fifth.
That's not because, the argument is though, that's not because Ferrari pitted, that's because they made a slow stop. His stop was 5.5 seconds. Had it been a standard, you know, 2-3 second stop, he'd have come out ahead of Verstappen and he'd have got third place quite comfortably, because Verstappen wouldn't have overtaken him, especially when you consider
Verstappen
the damage.
Verstappen was speeding up later on. I mean, you did see Verstappen was pushing at the speed. I mean, the only difference is there, obviously, the Ferrari didn't have the speed on the day. Yep. It didn't have the speed. Mercedes did. Now, Verstappen was chasing down Bottas. It was taking him time, but he was getting closer to Bottas, and Bottas was going a lot faster than the Ferrari could have. I mean, that is the argument at the end of the day. Bottas had slower tyres, but he was doing a good speed. And the Mercedes engine, or the Mercedes car, we don't know what caused this change, was doing incredibly well. I mean, you know, Hamilton was 20 seconds ahead. That says a lot. I don't think Vettel would have had as much of a chance against Verstappen as Bottas had against Verstappen.
I think Bottas was quite comfortable in second. No doubt he could have gone further ahead had he needed to. The fact is, Vettel finished the race a second behind Verstappen, and I'm pretty confident had he came out ahead of him, he would have finished third for my money. I just think they were a bit unlucky. There wasn't really a lot they could do because the Mercedes was so superior on that day, and whether the conditions helped them, because it was a colder day where Ferrari tend to be strong in the hot weather. I don't know.
The day itself, the weather itself was 30 degrees odd air temperature. However, track temperature was in the low 20s, if not the high teens, because it had been a cloudy day. So whilst the air was warm, the track was not. And there seems to be this problem with the tyres. The tyres aren't warming up enough. And Ferrari seem to be coping a lot less with this than the other teams. They seem to be having a problem with trying to get the tyres up to spec. I mean, Mercedes had a few problems with them, but they seem to have worked a way around it. They certainly did a lot better this race with those medium compound tyres than they've done previously. I mean, even the last race, it wasn't the best temperature. It was still a cold track, but Mercedes had a bit more control on those tyres as well. So, I mean, there's a whole argument in, are Pirelli doing their job properly this season? But that's not something we can really go into at the moment. But I certainly think that is what is making an effect for a lot of teams at the moment.
Yeah. And then I don't want to keep mentioning the joke that is Grosjean, but the safety car, he blamed that on questionable tyres that weren't up to temperature properly. And
we did see a lot of skidding around corners, which isn't really that usual, to be perfectly honest. I mean, certainly not when drivers were deliberately slowing down more than you'd normally expect them to, perhaps around corners, to compensate for the skid of those tyres. So you could almost say that there's an argument that Pirelli really aren't doing their job. But once again, I think the tyres, we could discuss them for hours this season. So perhaps we'll move away from that. How about we go to Mercedes? Uh-huh. I think it was an incredibly good start for Hamilton.
It was. Great start. You know, you start first on the grid. All you can do is make sure you finish the. You know, you're in the lead. And what's interesting about that start is he looked back on it with regret that Vettel overtook Bottas. You know, that's going far and beyond yourself. And he
mentioned that he thought, looking back on it, he should have moved out in front of Bottas to give Bottas that slipstream that then Vettel stole, essentially, which is surprising. I mean, Hamilton's not the best team player historically, but he does seem to be playing a team with Bottas, and I think that's going to be very strong for Mercedes.
But the fact that that's your issue, not that, you know, 99% of the time, you know, you're happy starting first on the grid and going into that first corner in first. Yeah. The fact that he was thinking that, I think, just shows how dominant Mercedes were on this track. And
they were perfectly comfortable. There's no argument against that. I mean, the way that they went around that track, both Bottas and Hamilton, was smooth as butter. I mean, it looked at certain points that they weren't even trying. I mean, yes, other teams got fastest laps and stuff, but I think there was a lot more that could have been untapped in those engines if they'd needed to.
Oh, Hamilton had one of them days where he was just unstoppable. You know, he has them days when things are going right for him. He's in his happy place. He's just not a lot anyone can do. You know, he delivered a fantastic qualifying lap to get into first place and to pole position. And didn't put a foot wrong all race. And, to be fair, you know, he wasn't really challenged by anyone. So, yeah. You know, winning the race by, as we say, 20 seconds or something, and that's with a virtual safety car in the middle of it. And, you know, had he wanted to, he could have probably won the race by a minute or so, because he wasn't really trying. I think, from the top of my head, I think Daniel Ricciardo got the fastest. Like, he definitely didn't get the fastest lap. I think Ricciardo got
it. He got a few fastest laps earlier on when he was trying to get some space between himself and Vettel. But once he got a certain amount of space, it was almost like he wasn't interested in actually racing.
Oh no!
He wasn't trying. It was an easy day at the office for him, to a certain extent. A good day for Hamilton, and not a bad day for Bottas, to be perfectly honest. The safety car, Hamilton had a very good getaway. I mean, he pulled it out of the hat, really. I mean, he tricked Vettel into thinking he wasn't going to go around the corner, and then halfway around the corner, he heads off. It seems Bottas knew that was going to happen. But he certainly kept very close behind Vettel when he hadn't been previously.
Yeah, it goes back to what you were saying before about good team planning and working together. You know, it's clear that Hamilton and Bottas getting a lot better than Hamilton and Rosberg. And it was pretty obviously worked out that Hamilton would go at that point, because, you know, he completely caught out Vettel. But, you know, Vettel managed to hold on to second and perhaps was slightly lucky to do so with Bottas behind him.
I mean, that argument then could be, if Bottas was a more aggressive driver, would Vettel have kept that second place at that point? Possibly, but it's hard to say looking back on it. And I think a more aggressive driver perhaps wouldn't work quite so well with Hamilton, to be perfectly honest.
I think you're being a bit harsh on Bottas, actually. I know in the past we've quite correctly raised questions about Bottas' aggression, but in this case, as I recall, I don't... I, I think had he made that move, it would have been a crazy, you know, a crazy thing for him to do, I think. Well, not crazy, but we'd have been calling him over ambitious, I think. I think he would have, it would have been an incredible move had he done it, but I don't, you know.
Possibly, but Hamilton and Vettel and any other driver that gets, you know, first place, generally they have over ambitious moves. It's a matter of are they able to pull them off or not.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have the skill as well as the balls. To put it bluntly. Mercedes, like we mentioned previously, kept mentioning a two-stop strategy and then decided relatively early on from the looks of things, actually, we're going to go for a one-stop strategy. They kept in contact with Bottas, saw, you know, checked with him how his tyre degradation was going on. It was going okay. And so they decided a one-stop strategy was the best way to do it. Didn't stop them from tricking Vettel into thinking that on the virtual safety car they were going to pit one of them, because they certainly looked like they were preparing tyres in the pit. But however, they never brought anyone out.
But then, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm going around in circles, but I think given that scenario, I don't think Ferrari had a choice but to pit. What their mistake, as I said, was a slow stop. Maybe they could have put him on softer tyres, because as I recall, they put him on the medium. But, you know, Mercedes could have done a one-stop, two-stop, three-stop, whatever strategy they wanted, and they'd have still won the race in the car they had, to be fair.
Yeah, what I'm saying, though, is it does seem that Mercedes had a lot of mental play as well as the actual racing play. I mean, they did seem to psych out Ferrari from the start to a certain extent.
Oh, I'd agree that, yeah. Oh, no, I agreed with that. And I think, their plan was always to go with a one stop before the race started. That was pretty clearly the intention, barring, you know, some crazy safety car incident, which would have, yeah.
But, you know, Hamilton ending the race 20 seconds ahead of Bottas and then 26 seconds ahead of Verstappen is impressive, and it has meant that Hamilton is now leading by 17 points ahead of Vettel.
Yeah, and it's 17 points is sort of a significant difference, and I think for me, based on the season so far, I think Hamilton's extremely fortunate to be in that position. I don't think he deserves to be that far ahead. I don't think he deserves to be in the lead of the championship, to be blunt, and it bodes very well for the rest of the season if that's what he's doing.
I would argue against that. I do think he deserves to be in the lead. Perhaps not by that amount of points, but I do think he deserves to be in the lead. Whilst Vettel's been driving well and the Ferrari car has shown some high points, you've got to think of the fact that if Raikkonen's having so much problems with the car, then there's something wrong with the car. It may not be Vettel that's experiencing the problems, but what's to say Vettel won't experience those problems? So I would say that if you look at it, there's a reason why Hamilton is leading. One, yes, the car seemed a bit shabby to begin with, but that's possibly due to the high temperatures. And Hamilton did have a fair share of misfortune in the first few races. Vettel also had some misfortune, but I would say it probably equals out. And these last few races, certainly in the last race, Ferrari didn't match up strategically. I mean, you've got to think of that moment where Red Bull won a race because strategically they were the better team. Mercedes seems to have taken this in mind and made some alterations. I don't think Ferrari have.
You see, I look through the season and, you know, we go back to Australia where Vettel was lucky to win perhaps with the safety car, which, you know, the virtual safety car, which meant he could make the pit stop. Go back to Bahrain where Vettel won the race and dominated it, as I recall. You look at China where the Red Bulls, as you say, made that pit stop behind the safety car. Vettel was favourite to win the race before the safety car. The fourth race, there was another safety car, which Vettel was net leading the race. He was about 10 seconds behind Bottas, waiting for Bottas to pit. So basically, in conclusion, I would say Vettel was lucky to win the first race, deservedly won the second race, the two races after that, he could have won but was unlucky. And then this week, he was just in a completely uncompetitive car. For me, he's been extremely unlucky this season.
You would argue, though, Hamilton has had two races where a safety car is completely... Well, three races, at least, that a safety car has completely thrown it out of the water. I mean, the Red Bull, you know, China, I mean, that was unlucky for both of them. We're not going to jump... We're not going to dance around the bush with that. And the first two races, Hamilton was unlucky in both of those. I mean, if you argue it out, it does seem to equal out. They've both had the same level of unluckiness, well, misfortune, as it were. And as such, part of driving, part of racing, is fortune as well as skill. And Hamilton and Vettel have both shown skill. They've both shown misfortune and they've both shown fortune. And as such, I think Hamilton does deserve to be in the lead. I mean, he certainly deserved to be in the lead this race. And, you know, he's not been the most fortunate this season, but he seems to be dusting himself off, picking himself up. And I think it's going to be very hard for Vettel to start catching up to him, because I think Hamilton's now in the right mindset.
What I would say is, in terms of mindset, you say Hamilton's going to be hard to beat, but he is so, you know, he can drive fantastically, but he is so quick. If something's not going exactly right for him, he is so quick to lose his head and, you know, just be all down. You see it in interviews, you see him just completely lose it and, you know, he'll have a go at his engineer, he'll just completely lose his head.
I think it's not necessarily to do with how the race is going or how his driving is going. I think Hamilton is very much temperamental due to his personal life. If his personal life is not going how he wants it to or how he thinks it should, then he will have an astonishingly bad drive. Mm. I mean, if you think about what he did before this race, he went partying with his friends, he flew to different countries, he did some promotional things in different countries. He had a fantastically filled week in front of him for it, and he spent a lot of time probably enjoying himself. And as such, he had a very positive mindset before this race.
Yeah.
And I think it's not necessarily that he thinks the car's not working or he thinks the engineer's fucking up, but that he doesn't like his life at the moment. He doesn't like if he's had a breakup or if he's, you know, got done for tax evasion. Then he may not have a good few races. But I think if his personal life is going the right way, yeah, he'll drive well.
I'd agree it has an impact, but I think, you know, if, I don't know, if he gets caught up in an incident in qualifying that's not his fault, if he has a gearbox penalty or something small like that, or if he feels he's been unjustly given a penalty, he's, for me anyway, he's too quick to get into that sad state, and he's not quick enough to... It's not just Formula One, it's just sport in general. They've got to be very quick to bounce back, and I don't think he is.
I think you're thinking back a few years in regards to that. I think actually now he's older, he takes that better. It is his personal life that he doesn't cope as well with. Okay, going on to Red Bull. We're talking about people bouncing back. Well, let's say Verstappen and Ricciardo did a bit of bouncing race, but not the kind that you'd expect. However, this race, in terms of the two Red Bull drivers together, pretty uneventful. There was no infighting between the two of them. Did seem Ricciardo was asking for some team orders partway through the race. Don't think they were heeded. And I don't think they were necessary. I think Ricciardo was trying to prove a point and probably failed a bit in terms of that. Verstappen did have a collision, but it was a minor one. I would personally say a racing incident. What would you say?
Yeah, no, I agree. It was a racing incident. You know, it wasn't... Luckily, it was okay. It was just some minor damage, end plate damage, so it didn't affect him too badly. Had there not been that incident in the previous race in Azerbaijan, I do wonder if Ricciardo would have been more aggressive trying to overtake, but... Yeah, maybe we needed that for a bit more excitement at this race, him to do something. We said after the previous race, Red Bull have got not necessarily team orders, but they have to have more control over their drivers, and they've done that. Job done, and you know, third and fifth for the team's a reasonable result. It could have, well, they're not that. That's they're not going to compete with the two Mercedes, so it's pretty much the best they could have hoped for.
It's obvious that there doesn't seem to be any team orders in place. They are still encouraging them to fight against each other. So whether that control will slip a few races down the line when they've realised, oh, we can change some things, then it may be that we start seeing those Red Bulls racing against each other again. It does seem Red Bull isn't quite fond of team orders.
Yeah.
So I would caution that comment with the fact that I don't think it's going to last. I think it'll be for a few races. The slap on the hand has worked for a few races. But I think at the end of the day, they're both hot-blooded drivers that want to win. And as such, they're going to continue fighting each other and they'll fight with all they can. I mean, Verstappen said in an interview, he's not going to change. That says a lot. Talking about fighting, Leclerc and Alonso had a good fight. They both drove very well.
Yeah, Leclerc's impressed. You know, he's looking like a decent contender for that Ferrari seat. He's in their junior programme. He's done well for Sauber. And yeah, a car that's not particularly competitive finishes ninth in the race. And Alonso in front of his home fans, you know, eighth place, pretty much the best he could have hoped for, especially as he lost places at the start of the race. He was a bit unlucky. Yeah, he also made a young friend. Don't know if you saw that, but yeah, who he invited into the paddock to watch his race.
Oh yes, his biggest fan. Got a few pictures with him as well. Rather cute, really. And McLaren does love a bit of publicity, as it were. Talking about McLaren, they had their first engine breakdown for this season, which is impressive for McLaren, considering that I think they had like 12 breakdowns last season. Yes, I am exaggerating.
That's probably about right, actually. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but six each is probably about right.
Probably, yeah. It is too early to say if it's a good choice in engine, though. Would you agree?
It's the best choice out of what's available to them because Ferrari and Mercedes both aren't going to allow McLaren to use their engines, so their choice is very limited. You know, they've got Renault and they've got Honda, and the Honda engine, despite having that good one race and everyone was asking the questions, is nowhere near as strong as the Renault engine. And Renault have their own works team now as well, so I expect that to improve. I think where the issue is Formula One have got to step in and do something to ensure every team can get a competitive engine, because, you know, a Red Bull, if you gave Red Bull and McLaren both a, you know, an engine that was equivalent or slightly inferior to Ferrari Mercedes, you'd see four teams at the top of the tree, and it'd be fantastic. Yeah. I think there needs to be better. I think Formula One needs to step in and provide.
Well, what I find interesting is McLaren. If you think of McLaren cars, now not Formula cars, but McLaren cars, they are famous for their hand-built engines that are built by McLaren, and they are very impressive engines. They're some of the fastest road sports cars you can get. I think it would be amazingly interesting if McLaren developed their own Formula One engines rather than relying on other engines from other places. I understand it's a very big investment, but for a company that prides itself so much on building engines, I think it would be incredibly impressive to see a Formula One McLaren engine.
Yeah, the problem you've got, though, is the sheer cost of producing an engine is insane. I mean, we don't get the exact figures because teams like Ferrari and Mercedes wouldn't want that because it doesn't suit their agenda for it to be in the public domain. We don't know the exact figures, but the cost of it is very high. And I get McLaren's a thriving business, but they just can't.
But McLaren prides itself on hand-building engines. It prides itself on the fact that they're individual, they're different. I mean, the McLaren GT is superb. I think there's no better advertisement for a company like that than to have its own Formula One engine. I think in terms of the investment, they would get more back from the fact that they're advertising this McLaren engine. McLaren Formula One team at the moment isn't a good advertisement for a sports car company.
No. But then you assume that McLaren would come in and have this competitive engine. I mean, they tried bringing in a completely new engine in the shape of Honda, and look where that got them. I think it's got to be... I don't think a team can just come in and produce an engine and be competitive. I think it's got to be developed over years, whether that's something when the new formula comes out, what is it, in 2021, I believe, is the change. Whether they do it then, maybe.
I think it would be worthwhile for them, and considering the problems they've had with engines in Formula 1, it may be something that would work out. I mean, it would certainly be interesting if McLaren developed their own engine and started selling it to the other lesser teams. We could have actually quite a good fight then, certainly if it's a competitive engine.
Hmm. If it's too competitive, they won't be too keen to sell it to people who are direct rivals.
Possibly not. Okay. Final discussion for the day. So we've all heard about the Miami track. We mentioned it in the previous podcast. There has been a bit of controversy this week, thanks to none other than Hamilton himself, who has been complaining about the track that is proposed. I mean, I think David Coulthard said it looked like it had been drawn by a ruler. Not ideal for a racing track. And Hamilton seems to have taken offence by the fact that it's not developed by anyone with any driving experience. And the argument now is, should racing drivers develop new tracks?
I think there's arguments both. I think recent circuits have been a bit hit and miss. Some are very good. I think Azerbaijan's a great track. Others like Abu Dhabi, which I think I remember Raikkonen being asked in an interview after the first practice session what he thought of the track. He said the first corner's okay, after that the rest of the track is a bit shit.
In his typical manner.
In his typical manner. Tracks have been a bit hit and miss. The proposed Miami circuit does look pretty atrocious, and
like four straights.
Yeah, we're just F1 fans. We're not technical experts, but I think anyone who's got a basic understanding of F1 can tell it's not a very well thought out circuit. And yeah, well, whether it's drivers, whether it's team principals, whether it's
engineers.
Even engineers, I don't know, but maybe somebody more connected with F1 could do a better job. I don't think that's the final design. I think that was a bit of a joke. I don't know. I hope not.
I mean,
anyway.
It looks like a Google van's just gone for a drive around the block, to be perfectly honest with that. It doesn't look the best. I do think there was about four straights, if not more, on it, then there was one corner that was almost... Well, it wasn't even a hairpin corner. It was an angle.
It was like 270 degrees.
It was like a triangle corner.
yeah.
I mean, how slow are those cars going to have to go around that? It's not going to make things interesting, I'm afraid. Hamilton pointed out he knows Miami. He knows that there's areas that are better suited for putting a circuit. And you would have to say, if you're looking at a city circuit, you'd look for a place that has got a bit more corners. You'd look for a place that is less straight. I mean, we understand the Americans plan their cities on a grid system, but, so does Rome, so does a lot of European countries, that, you can see a grid system on them, but you can also imagine a road race on them as well.
Yeah, at times it can be very secular, and they need to embrace ideas. I think they're getting better. I mean... the YouTube channel, and they're trying to get more in the fans. Obviously, that's partly for marketing reasons, but I think it's getting better with Liberty Media. I think they're doing a decent job. The new graphics on the Halo, they've changed that. They've listened to fans. They've got a bigger social media presence than ever before, particularly on YouTube, as I mentioned. I think it's improving, and I think Ross Brawn... is no mug who's running the technical side of things. He's no mug. He knows what he's doing. And, even putting everything to one side, that circuit in Miami... it is, but that circuit in Miami won't happen with Ross Brawn at the helm.
Hopefully they will listen to the drivers in terms of the Miami circuit, and we will see an exciting new track in the future.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and follow us on Perfect F1. We will attempt to do some more tweeting on it. We will speak to you after Monaco.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.